cake.
All right, thanks, Pastor Brian. All right, well, are you guys ready for tonight?
Yeah.
Because I am ready for tonight. Tonight's going to be great stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, let me start off. And there are some visitors, some people kind of on the campsite, and they don't know what we're getting ready to do, but we're going to be really, really loud. Some of you need to kind of wake up. I mean, you kind of like the sun. Don't make you feel that way. You took your bath. How you took a bath in the slip and slide. Okay, water slide. Oh, yeah. Some of you guys are like, yeah, big time. You got huge foam coming at you. Some of you had a huge, huge afro of white hair, you know, foam on like your head. Some of you guys did that to me. Anyway, we had a good time there, and some of you guys got to go down that slide. It's super fun. I just love camp. Camp is fun. And so I hope that you're having a good time. If you're having a good time at camp, then something's wrong with you. You know what I mean? Something's wrong with your heart, probably. And so I hope that you have a good time and you're going, I want to get something from camp, and I want to really have a good time at camp. Well, we got some of these themes that we're learning. And the first one, you know, and I'm going to wake this up, but before we do that theme, I'm going to say, good evening, boys and girls. Okay, so here we go, buddy. Good evening, boys and girls. That was awesome. You know, that was a long one. Now stand to your feet. Everyone stand to your feet. I need you to stand up. You need to move around a little bit, okay? Come like this, hold up your body, and get ready to go. Because we're doing the theme tonight. You know the theme. It's right up here. It's so easy to remember. And I think some of you maybe can practice it today. So here we go. Let's say it all together. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Okay, not bad. Except for we need everybody standing up. No one is allowed to sit down. So I am so sorry. Stand up, ladies. You've got to get in on this. Okay, here we go. Ready? All together. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Not bad. Okay, now wait a second. If you were being attacked, something happened, you know, you're at Walmart, you're going back to your car, and all of a sudden someone grabs all of you, like, hey, you know, like, give me your money. What's it do? I don't think you'd be like, you know, No. I think you would make a fist tight. Now, some people don't even know how to make a fist. Take your hand like this and roll it down into like a fist, and now your thumb's sticking out. Now take your thumb, but don't push it way over, because the more you push it over, the more your fist goes bang. Okay, you don't want that. You want to keep it flat, flat fist. Now watch this as you point it towards somebody else, okay, it's your target. Okay, you just kind of point it down the target. Now, the truth is, it should be a straight line, and the two knuckles that are in front are really the ones that are punching. Those are the strong part. Here, now watch this. It's not the lower part. If you punch, people know how to punch, and they have their fists look like this. Okay, if your fist looks like this, it's wacko. Okay, you're going to break your knuckles. You're going to be like, So the truth is you're punching with the two knuckles. Actually, those two knuckles, I want you to feel this. This is the top feature here. Take them and just tap your jaw. Okay, you can feel the jawbone. Just tap on the two. Not the lower part, but the top little piece right here, the bone to bone. Now, can I tell you, could you imagine if you went and saw all of them, you know, got hit like that? That's what I was laughing at the movies, because in the movies, it's like, ah, and I'm like, it doesn't work that way. If you really punch and you hit somebody with those knuckles and hit them in the jaw, they would drop down to the ground because they wouldn't make it. Knock them out. It's just that powerful. It's amazing just knowing how to punch. Now, if you don't know how to punch, even boxers don't know how to punch. You know why? Because boxers, you say, what are you talking about? They know how to punch. Well, sometimes what happens, they've got all the gear on, and they've wrapped their knuckles, and then they put their hand in the gloves, and so as they're punching, a lot of times they'll punch, and they're doing their punches, and they, in a sense, have a right technique in punching, but they're used to punching even with the outside, almost like the outside knuckles. Then a boxer somehow gets in some kind of a fight, maybe he's defending himself, he doesn't have the gloves on, doesn't have his hands all wrapped, and all of a sudden he punches in a funny, funky way, and sure enough, he's breaking knuckles and breaking bones all in his hand, because he's not used to a bare knuckle hit. And so the truth is, some of these punches it's a big deal. How you even carry your fist and hold your fist. And if it's a soft little, like, you know, noodle, punch, 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 you know, you're going to hurt yourself. There's a friend of mine Back in the day, he used to do demonstrations, and he would even have people come up and punch him in the stomach. I don't do that. I'm not that crazy, okay? But he'd have guys come up and punch as hard as they could in the stomach. And you know what? He even warned people. He said, just so you know, I've broken about 47 wrists so far. So please, don't, you know, if you don't know how to punch, you know, right? You know, kids go, people go, and they didn't know how to punch right. And so it's kind of a big deal. So punch is a big deal. So here we go. Let's try it again. This time with a stronger punch. Because we're doing this, remember, it's a jab, it's going to be a reverse punch, and then it's an uppercut. That's the three punches we're doing, okay? So here we go, ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Now, I'm not bad here. Here's all I did. Go ahead and be seated. I'm going to pick some of you. I want to see a girls group and a guys group from the opposite team. We will let a girls' cabin come up here to do this. So let's start off, and we'll start with this girls' cabin. Go ahead, you can. Wait, are there two girls' cabins here, or just one? There's one. You guys go ahead and come all the way up here and spread out, and they're going to show us. And then in a minute, I'm going to let the guys' cabin from the opposite team come up there, and we're going to see who does it better, the girls or the guys, okay? Sometimes, you know, the guys are like, yeah, we got down, you know. And actually, they all got down, you know what I'm saying? So go ahead and spread out just a little bit across the front here. And so we're going to do it. You got to do it loud and punch hard, okay? And we're watching all of you, okay? So the truth is, it's when you're up in front of people, you can stand up and be like, and if you just do that, then you're going to look really awkward again. You know, so actually you look more normal when you go for it, you know what I'm saying? So try to go for it. Here we go. Spread out, here we go. Ready to go. Girls, see how you do it. Here we go. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Not bad. Give a round of applause. These girls were punching hard, and that part looked good. But I will tell you this, they weren't loud like most girls. I'm just telling you, usually girls are really loud. They look really loud, but they did some really good punches, okay? So let's see if we got any. Come on up here, guys. Go ahead, Liza. Take these guys with me. All right.
Yes, sir, Russ. Oh. Russ, I didn't scare you in front of people. Now, scoot up closer, okay? Don't be, like, hiding behind rocks and stuff, okay? Not that close. Yeah, about right there. Are you ready?
Yes,
are you ready for this? Here we
go,
yeah. Guys. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Okay, not bad. Give them a round of applause. Good job.
Okay. On the count of three, I want you to tell me which team you thought did the best. Okay, on the count of three. Okay. And now, when you say that really loud, then I'm going to get it. Once I do that, I think you got to be quiet. Okay, so we're going to figure out which team did the best. Okay, I've got two teams up there. Boom, boom, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. I feel like you guys are a little bit biased. But anyway, so we're going to do the next one, okay? The next one is a new one. Oh, this is pretty cool. Okay, so watch this one, okay? What do I do with my little clicker? Ready. Next one. God gives me strength to kick out sin. Now, this one's going to be a fun one to practice, okay? And y'all can practice this somewhat, probably not in here, but here's how this one goes. Because I guess, God gives me strength to, and now you kind of get lined up, and you're going to do some kicks. You're going to do front kick, and then run and a front jump kick, which is like a scissor kick, okay? So I'm going like this. God gives me strength to kick out, and then you do a front jump kick. Sit. Let me give you a couple of hints on this one, okay? Because sometimes I get some volunteers that come up here because they want to try it. You know, it's kind of cool. I want to try that, you know? And so sometimes you go, it's like, God gives me strength, yeah. And then you're like, and my first thought is like, who are you fighting? Are you like fighting a squirrel or something down there? You know, people are like, so, what I want you to try to kick, but also as you kick, don't try to kick so high. Because some people are like, you know, and they kick so high, and they might actually land on their back. Like, whoa! Okay. That's not good. The other thing is sometimes people are trying to kick so high on the front jump kick, And the front jump kick really is real easy. In one sense, the way you can do it, learn it, is by just picking one knee up. You jump up in the air and switch it. You kind of practice that way.
Right.
Knee up and switch. You kind of get going where you go. Knee up, knee up.
Yeah.
Knee up, knee up. And then you add the kick on the second one. So you go, knee up. Got it. That's kind of good. Now, what you don't want to do is don't try to kick so high even on that, because I've had people go, hi-ya! Ah, boom! But I'm curious if some of you want to try it. I might give a couple people an opportunity to try. Let's hear some old voice. Dr. Roland, come over here. He's an honorary doctor.
Okay. And I have no idea how to do this for the time.
A girl? Except for we just let all those girls do it. Are these girls like, here, want to try the name? Okay, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, come on up here. So we got four people up here to try that. And we're going to start these. Go ahead and just come on over on this side as well. We'll go one at a time. We'll start off with who wants to go first, guys or girls?
Girls.
Normally we go ladies first, but not tonight. So we'll start off. Mr. Roland, you think you can do it?
Not
first, but ye, Logan will do it first. So here's Logan, ready? You gotta remember how to go. God gives me strength. So you gotta say it, ready?
God gives me strength to kick out.
Nice! All right, here we go, ready?
God gives me strength to kick out.
Okay! Alright, here we go. You did your ankle socks? They're ready.
God gives me.
It's okay. I'm telling you, it's what happens when you get in front of people. I don't know what the deal is. Okay, but here I'll show you.
There's nobody there.
You ready?
God.
Yeah, you're my God. Here's the question. Ready?
God gives me strength to kick out the door.
One more. Now let's do the big one. Ready? Ready? God gives me strength to kick out sin. Not bad. For each night, I'm going to add to it. Now I can't let everyone come up here. If we did that, we'd be like, you know, it'd be already like 11:30, and we'd be like, man, what's the deal? You know, get on with the preaching, you know, pastor. You know, so we can't do that. But you can practice that a little bit, even outside. Remember, as you think through that. Because tomorrow night I'll get some more people to come up here to try it. Okay, so we'll do that and we'll add to it. So each time we're gonna add a little bit to it. But I want you to picture this and get this. And then tonight, I want you to take your Bible and your notebook and your pen, and I want you to get ready because the passage is actually found in Joshua chapter 7. Now, Joshua's in the Old Testament, so as we turn to Joshua chapter 7, I want to read one verse to you, but then we're going to use just this passage for the rest of the night, okay? So we're going to look at this passage and this true story about a man named Joshua and another man named Achan. If you look at this Joshua chapter 7, you see in verse 19, let's look at it together. Joshua 7, verse 19 says this. Now Joshua said to Achan, he said, my son. Now wait a second. Actually, Achan is not his physical son. But he's like the fatherly figure, and in his kindness, he's calling out this guy who has done evil and wrong. Watch what he says. Now Joshua said to Achan, he said, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Do not hide it from me." That's pretty serious. Actually, tonight, if you're taking notes, I'm going to make it even more difficult on purpose. That tonight, I'm not going to change the screen, but I want you to be able to do this. At the top of your note, we're going to entitle the message, Sin in the Camp. I think you should write that down. So let's write down at the top, Sin in the Camp. That's the title of tonight's message. Actually, what's funny is sometimes I like to even title it a little bit different. Sometimes I've entitled it something like this, and you don't have to write this down, but here's what it would be. I call it Life Lessons from a Dead Loser. Say what? Now, I say that because in the Bible, I think each one of us should have some Bible heroes, shouldn't we? I mean, there are people that you go, well, I want to be like that, or I want to have faith like that, and I want to be used of God like that. But there are some people in the Bible that you do not want to follow, okay? There are some bad characters in the Bible to show us a bad example. Don't be like that. And in this true story, we have both. We've got a really positive example, a guy who wants to kick out sin. And then we have a very negative example of a person who longs to hold on and cover over their sin. So tonight's message is a very simple message entitled, Sin in the Camp. Let's pray, and let's ask God's help as we pray tonight, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these boys and girls and for the staff that's here. And God, I pray, as we think about all of Canada, how it leads to this whole idea of even the preaching of your word. God, you have exalted the preaching. You have raised it up high. And in our world, so often, it's pushed way down low. But God, I pray tonight that you would use the preaching to work in our hearts, to help us to grow spiritually. God, I pray for some in this room who, even now, there are some in this room who know that they are not truly saved yet. I ask God, would you work in their heart and would you bring them to true saving faith in Christ? And there are others, God, who I know that truly are born from you. They are in Christ. They have been rescued from their sins. But I pray that tonight you would stir them. They would get serious about what you're serious about. And God, you would use this message, this passage of Scripture, to work in our hearts in a real deep way. God, work in all of us. Work in my heart tonight. And use this message for your glory and for our good. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen. Okay. Boys and girls, there was a great leader of the children of Israel. His name was Moses. And Moses was a person used greatly of God. We know the story about Moses and the story about them leaving Egypt and even maybe going to the point, making their way to the promised land. But they got to the edge of the promised land and they weren't able to go in because of their sin of disobedience against God and their sin of a lack of faith in what God told them to do. So God actually had many of them die in the wilderness. Actually, everyone who was of a certain age was going to die. They weren't going to go into the promised land. They weren't going to be allowed by God. But you know what's interesting after that happens is this. Is God raised up another leader, a guy named Joshua. Joshua was an amazing leader being used of God. And God told Joshua, now the time is right. Take the people and cross the Jordan and go into the very land I promised to give to you. A land the Bible says flowing with milk and honey. See, in the past, remember what would happen? They would actually be fed by God every day. Every day. Could you imagine waking up and the ground's covered? It looked like snow, like it said everywhere. And it was actually the food to live by. It was food called what? Remember? Manna. And you know what? At this point, God was going to stop doing that because God was blessing them, giving them this land. And this land was an eternal blessing of a land, actually. As they came to the edge of the Jordan River, they get to the edge, and the river is at flood stage. You couldn't just make it across. And at this point in time, maybe close to about 2 million Jewish people. And so that's a lot of people. How are you going to get across when it's in flood stage of this huge river? And so at this point in time, how are they going to cross? Well, God did something amazing. He parted. Now, I can't wait. There's certain things when I get to heaven, I cannot wait to ask God, can you show me that? I would love to see that, because actually the Bible describes it as they go to cross on this river, that all of a sudden it parts. But then remember, you think about it, stand up in the heat in the distance, and that's what the Bible describes it as, and they walk across on dry ground. Now remember, water's still coming, so is the heat getting taller and taller and taller and taller and taller? I don't know, but they're making it across. They even pick up 12 big stones to take to the other side and make stones of really memorial of reminding anybody when they came near this area that this is exactly what God did to get us across the Jordan River. And now they get across the Jordan River, and here they are, and God says, here's the plan. He says, I want you to go in, and I want you to conquer these people. Now, wait a second. That kind of seems like bad. Like, you go kill people? That's not good. But do you know anything about these people? The people, they were going in to conquer the land. God said this. God said, I've had enough of these people. These people are so wicked and so sinful. They care nothing of me. They don't want anything to do with God. Actually, God would command them to do things and be right and to act right, and they went totally against God. They had all kinds of gods. They even had a god named Molech. I don't know if you ever heard of Molech. Molech was a god who had a body of a human, but the head was the head of a bull. And it was made of metal or brass. And what they would do is, in the belly of this idol, they would actually kindle a fire. This is big. Idol, the cupola's fire, and it would eventually make the arms and the hands in front glow red. You know what they would do? Boys and girls, this is awful. They would take their little infants, their little babies that were alive, and they would sacrifice them to this god. They would come and they'd place it on his hands carefully. They would burn themselves, and when the little baby's skin would touch the glowing red hands, it would begin to scream. The baby would begin to scream. It would begin to catch the baby on fire. And they would even play drums in the background. To cover over the screams of these little infants. This is how wicked these people were. And God said, I've had enough. Now, any people, though, from that land who would humble themselves and turn to God, guess what happened? God would rescue them. We actually even know that because the very first city, Jericho, there was a lady who hid the spies and was greatly incensed, used of God. And the lady was turning from her wicked lifestyle to the one true God. Her name was Rahab. And actually, the scarlet cord would be out of the wall there, remember. And I mean, everything about that would just show you that God, in his kindness, even when he judges people, he actually has a kindness and a love. If anyone will turn to him, he will rescue them. That's an amazing thing, isn't it, boys and girls? That God would rescue wicked and sinful people. And you know what's amazing? Here you have this they get to the cross, they get to cross the river there. They had spies that went around. Rahab had hidden the spies, and she came back, the guys came back, and they began to tell them. And so now they knew, and here's what God said. God said, here's the plan. I want you to go. And I want you to march around the city walls of Jericho. I want you to do it one time every day. And then do it for 6 days in a row. Then on day number 7, don't march around one time. March around 7 times. Don't say anything when you march around these walls. But when you finish on the 7th time, on that 7th day, then shout with a loud voice and blow trumpets, and I will deliver the city to you. That's kind of a weird army plan, march around the walls and somehow we're going to win. That's kind of weird, man. But God obviously did a miracle to get them across. I mean, he's been doing miracles after miracle after miracle. So the truth is they were like, okay, God, we trust you. We've seen you work, and we know that you do miracles this way. God also said this to him. When you conquer the land, the first city, don't take anything for yourself, not the first city. When you go to the other cities, the gold, the silver, all the spoils that you conquer, that all that will end up becoming yours. Actually, you can utilize this thing. So that's kind of cool that they could get the spoils of the war that they would fight. And again, fighting against these wicked, awful people, God is going to use them to drive them out of the land. So they all agree. And they go to the first city. The city is called what? You remember? What is it? Jericho. Jericho, boys and girls, had this wall outside of it, and it was a very fortified city, like a fort. I mean, this thing was, the first wall was about 12 feet thick. I mean, it went some 30 feet high. That would be like three times the size of the roof here. That's how tall the wall was. There was even a gap between a first wall and even a second wall. And the truth of this was seriously fortified. Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to conquer this place? But remember what God told them to do. March around the city walls. So wait a second. Boys and girls, think about this. The very first day, they're supposed to march around and camp out. Now, just so you know, it's not massive in the sense that it's a fortress. But the truth is, it would only take them about 30 minutes, probably because of the distance, to be able to march around and come back and then camp out. That's it. Now, they're doing it for a couple of days. Now, let's just say you were a person who was in the city, maybe even looking over the walls and watching this group go march around and then go camp out. That's a little bit awkward, you know? What do you think some of the people on the wall watching them do this maybe said or thought? I don't know. I'm just curious about what some of you might think. What do you think? Okay, so you're thinking that they're afraid. But we should turn to the Lord. Okay. What do you think?
What are they up to?
Yeah, what are these guys doing over there? Are they crazy? You know, what do you think, maybe? Yeah, like maybe, you know, what are you going to do? Punch our walls? Now remember, boys and girls, in this sense, they did not have an air force. Okay? They had no bunker buster bombs. You know, they didn't have grenades, you know, where you could like hold a pin and like, hey buddy, catch this one. They didn't have rocket launchers of some sort. They didn't have anything like that. They didn't have machine guns. So the truth is, as they're marching around, maybe somebody thought that. But the Bible does say this. The Bible actually says these people were so afraid watching them. And it says that they were so afraid, it's like their hearts melted. Now, they weren't really melting inside. The idea was saying this, they were so afraid. They felt like they had no strength in them anymore. You know why? There was a number one nation of the day in the past, a nation named Egypt. And God used the children of Israel, you could say, to conquer Egypt. Now, here is a city that's nowhere as big as Egypt. And now you have these same people marching around your wall. Truth is, the Bible says they were very, very afraid. They were very scared. And actually, as they do this 6 days in a row, then on the seventh day, they march around seven full times. They begin to shout in a loud voice. They blow the trumpet. The ground begins to shake. These walls begin to crack and crumble. And they begin to fall down. 30-foot-high walls crashing down. And nobody from Israel got hurt. That's a miracle of God. That doesn't make any normal sense. Girls, look this way. Look at that. That's being selfish, actually. That's not fine. I think about this huge walls crashing down. Wait a second. Consider this. As these walls crash down, you actually now have the children of Israel going in a sense, attacking the people. And the truth is here's a man in the army, a man named Achan. Now here we start to go with the real story. This guy named Achan, you know what he does? He looks around, and again, they marched around seven times, began early in the morning. So the truth is, they probably finished off around, I don't know, noon or maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe at that point the sun is shining. But sure enough, Achan, he looks up and he sees something, and it's a wedge of gold, a bar of gold. He picks it up, it's heavy. Seems to be watching. The Bible says he coveted it. It means he wanted it really bad. And he took it. You see something else. Oh, whoa, what's that? As he looks down, maybe it's all scattered, or maybe it's in a box or a bag of some sort, but he finds 200 small silver coins are called shekels. And again, that's a lot of money too. Maybe as he picks it up, he's like, whoa. And this, you know, he's looking around, again, no one's watching. He takes that, and then he sees one other thing. As he looks down, you know what he sees, boys and girls? He sees a Babylonian garment. Now, what's that? That would be like something that a king or a queen would wear. And as he sees this, he picks this up, and maybe it's a beautiful dress. And again, like a princess style of dress. I mean, it would be so expensive. And as he picks up, maybe he's got good thoughts. I mean, maybe in all this, you pick up the money, well, oh man, that could be our future and investment, you know, that'd be good. Or maybe again, he picks up the dress and he even says something like this, man, my wife would look awesome in this dress. Actually, she's been wearing the same clothes for the last 40 years. This would be really cool. She would be, man, it'd be awesome. But God said, don't take. He's looking around. Boys and girls, he goes back to his tent. Now, his tent, just so you know, did not look like this. Okay? That's a makeshift tent for sure. But his tent would have been like a nomadic style of tent. What does that mean? It'd be like they lived in any multi-rooms and come to this big fortress kind of looking kind of thing with these tents. As they would go into these tents, and sure enough, he goes into the tent. The Bible says he digs a small hole. He then puts that stuff there and covers it over and acts like nothing happened. Now, I'm going to give you three lessons. That's it tonight. Three. Okay, lesson number one. Okay, that's the key. Number one, and you're going to write it down, okay? I'm not even going to give it to you up there, okay? Here we go, ready? Lesson number one is this. You can't sin and get away with it. Lesson number one, you can't sin and get away with it. Now, what's amazing is the scripture tells us in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1, listen to this. It says this. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, he took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord, it burned against the children of Israel. God was really mad. God was upset. Achan sins against God. And God is upset. What is sin? What is sin? Actually, take your hands with me like this, and you can do this. Take your hands and put them like this in front of you. Sin is when you break God's laws. Say it again, ready? Sin is when you break God's laws. One more time, ready? Sin is when you break God's laws. Actually, you can say this. Sin is anything you think, or even say, or even do, that displeases God. And actually, you can think and you can do evil sins in your mind. Maybe, again, no one even knows, but in your mind, you're thinking, I hate my mom or dad, or I'm so angry towards them, and they're making me do this, and I want to do my thing. And maybe, again, mom or dad don't even know what you're thinking, but you're sinning in your brain, in your mind. You can sin, actually, with what you say. I think every last one of us in this room, we've actually said things to people. And we've hurt people with our tongues, with our speech. Some of you might have even heard the phrase this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Actually, that's a big lie. Because you know what's interesting? As I'm talking to you, I can even think of staff members who are even here. And their staff members, they could probably stand up and tell you, somebody who said something to them at some point in their past, and they still remember, and it still hurts deep down there. The truth is, many of you have been hurt by people, by what they say to you. You can sin with your speech, by hurting people. You can say evil things. There's so many ways that you can sin in your mouth. You can sin with your life by doing evil or wrong things against God. And the truth is, as we're talking about, even in this morning, we talked about one of the sin of selfishness. Or of pride. I mean, when you think about that, man, we do that all the time. That's awful. That we go against God and we go our own way. Boys and girls, the truth is, the Bible's teaching you here that you can't sin, ultimately, get away. Now, some of you might say that.
Yes, you can, Jeremy. I mean, Pastor Jeremy.
There are people who rob banks and they got away with it. And I go, actually, no, not ultimately. Because every last person is going to stand before God and give an account of their life. Do you know that when you do evil or you do wrong, you never ultimately get away with it? Because God is the ultimate judge. See, you know what? One thing, you can say this. Here's Achan, and he's looking around, and no one around him sees him. You can say, look here and here and here and here. But there's one way he forgot to look. And boys and girls, you know what that was? That was straight up. Because God from heaven saw exactly everything he did. God sees all things, and God knows all things. God even knows the thoughts that you think. That's amazing. Boys and girls, this just tells us you can't ultimately sin and get away with it. There's just no way. Not ultimately, because every last person who's saved before God, and there are some people who say, well, then I don't believe in God.
say that, but that doesn't mean he doesn't exist. The truth is you're still going to stand before him. Actually, the Bible says everyone, even if you don't even believe in him, at some point you will see him when you die and you stand before God, and you will bow to him and you will confess him as Lord. But at that point, it'll be way too late. If you're not in Christ, if you've not been saved, you'll be cast eternally into a place called hell. That's how serious it is. God is a holy God. That means he is perfectly pure and he's never sinned. God, in his purity, he is set apart from sin unto himself. That makes him holy. Actually, in heaven, there is no sin. That's where God lives. And the Bible says nothing will even enter into it that will defile it. God is so pure and holy. And here's the big problem, and I think you're starting to get it. None of us are. We just aren't natural. We do wrong. We sin. And when you sin, remember Adam and Eve, they had a choice. What are they going to do? Are they going to run to God and get and really let God fix them and help them? Or are they going to run from God and try to cover it over? Now let me tell you the next part of the story. Because as you go and you think about the story, he goes and he hides in his tent. And then at that point, you know what he does? He then goes and acts like nothing happened. And they go to the very next city. Now the next city is not like Jericho. This next city is a city called Ai, okay? It's super easy to spell.
A-I.
You spell it A-I. That's it. Okay, that's easy. A-I. Okay. A-I did not have a fortified wall. A-I was located up on a hill, though, and they worked their way up to A-I, and you know what they did? Is they thought this. Hey, God is with us. Look what he did. Jericho, are you ready? Hey, we don't even need every army man this time. Let's just do this. Let's just take 3,000. It's such a small little dinky city. We'll take 3,000 of our men, and we'll go up and we'll fight, and we're going to win because God is with us. You know what's interesting? They never prayed. You don't have anything in Scripture other than praying and saying, God, how should we do this next city, and what should we do? It's almost like they were seeing God kind of bless them. And sometimes this happens to us spiritually. We're like, wow, look, it's amazing. And we kind of think, I can do it on my own. You know, we forget the God gives me strength part. You know what I'm saying? And we just think, oh, fight the devil, you know? And what happens? It's almost like, yeah, we're going to do this. Oh, boom. That's exactly what happened. Because they go to fight these people, boys and girls. You know, the people they had that came out fighting against them. And could you imagine, let's say you're an army guy, you got your sword and you're fighting, and then all of a sudden your friend gets stabbed and he falls over and he's dying. And then another friend, and then another friend. And you're thinking, this isn't supposed to happen, to the point where they run away and they run all the way back and they go to Joshua, their leader, and they say, Joshua, we just fought against Ai and 36 men died. And we lost the battle. You can imagine some of them may be in tears because that was their friend. Maybe even a brother, you know, that fought them. They're saying, God, and this just happened. And Joshua, as a good leader, Joshua does something that is really good. He actually shows us this. Look at this in the scriptures as we look at it. It's Joshua chapter 7. And look at verse 6. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 6, it says this. Then Joshua tore his clothes. Why did he do that? And he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. That means that's a long time. He's dropping down before the ark of God. He's torn his clothes. And it says that he and the elders of Israel, and they actually put dust on their heads. Why are they doing this? Because it's a way of showing humility. God, we so need you. God, we're desperate. And they've torn their clothes, and they're so serious, bowing down and sets before God. And they begin to talk. Here's Joshua, what he says. And Joshua said this. He said, alas, Lord God. He said, you know, why have you brought this people over to really to the side of the Jordan? I mean, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns the back before their enemies? It's like when our people, when we run away from the enemies, what are we going to say? And then he says this, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land that will hear of it and will surround us and will cut off our name from the earth, then what will you do for your great name? Boys and girls, they were realizing sin
is not just bad against them, but it goes against God's great name. When we sin, it's like we take the name of God and we just kind of rub it down in the mud. And boys and girls, you start seeing how serious sin is. And then verse 10, it says, so the Lord actually said to God, for God actually answered him and said this. He says, get up. Why do you thus lie on your face? And says, why are you facing? Why are you doing this? He then says this, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them, for they have even have taken some of the accursed things, and have even taken and they deceived, they put it among their own stuff, it says. God says, I will not bless you until you get rid of it. Well, then they say this. Tomorrow morning, we're going to find out. Now, if you were Achan, and you were humble, what would you do? Someone raise your hand. If you were Achan, and you were actually humble at that point in time, you went, oh, wait, this is serious. What would you do? Yes, look at this. Yeah, you come clean. Joshua, you don't even have to wait till tomorrow. I'm here right now because I've been wrong. It was me, and I'm sorry. It's please forgive me. And I want to ask God to forgive me. I was wrong. Okay, but he's not doing that. Actually, boys and girls, let me give you lesson number two. Write this one down. Ready? Lesson number two is this. It is always better to confess your sins than to cover them up. You got that? That's a long one. It's always better to confess your sins than to cover them up. Boys and girls, this is a lesson I wish that we all could just learn right away. Because if we learn this right away, you know, we realize here's God, who's a loving God, who, yes, is holy, but God in his mercy and his kindness, if we run to him in humility, he will cleanse us. He will forgive us. He will do something for us that we could never do for ourselves. That's how serious this is. And boys and girls, sure enough, this is a lesson. And when I think about this, the Bible actually would teach this. You know, when you really confess your sins, there's a blessing from God. When I think about this, when you confess your sins, you know what you experience inside your heart? Peace. You know, when you don't have peace in your heart, it's almost like a raging river that's going, and there's no peace, and but when there is peace, it's like a calm, perfect, reflective lake. Like, wow, it's just like a perfect peace. No raging storm. It's just quiet. You know, when I think about this, when you run to God, you begin to confess your sins to God, and you say, God, I've done wrong, you're right, and I'm wrong. I'm confessing these sins to you. And you start getting things right with God. You know what's happening, boys and girls? It's that God starts working that peace within your heart. And the Bible even describes it as a peace the world doesn't even know. A normal person does not get this because until you really get right with God. And when that happens, can I tell you, you don't just want to get right with God. You want to get right with other people too. I mean, the truth is, I remember when I was 17, it was a major thing in my life because I was living out for myself and I was angry and I was hurt. I had all this turmoil inside. And then you know what happened? God starts to get a hold of my life. And it was at camp. I remember when I left camp, not only had I already asked God to forgive me at camp, and I was just, and even friends, I had some friends who knew me and said, they said, Pastor Jeremy, they didn't call me that, they said, Jeremy, you know, you look different. So what do you mean? They said, you just look happy. You know why I didn't look happy in the past? Because I was angry inside. I had so much sin in my heart. You know it's not funny anymore. It's the sin in your heart, is it? The truth is I had so much turmoil, I had no peace. And I remember I got peace with God because I got things right with God. And then you know what happened to me? I knew I had sinned against a lot of people. Actually, I had wrote a list of people who I had sinned against. You know, because the Bible even teaches this. You know, if you confess your sins, then he, God, is faithful and he's just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's awesome that God would do this. But sometimes people have asked me this. Sometimes even your age asks me this. They say, hey, Pastor Jeremy, who do we confess our sins to? I'll tell you the answer. Here it is. You always confess your sins to everyone you sin against. Every time you sin, who do you always sin against? Every time you sin. Yes, sir.
You confess.
Who do you sin against? Every time you sin against, who do you sin? Yeah, dude, you got it. Got it. So every time we sin, what should we do? Go to God. Now, wait a second. Sometimes we don't just sin against God. We sin against people too, don't we? Now, I had a list. One of the lists, you know, on the top of my list is my parents. Boys and girls, I had been so rebellious and disobedient towards my mom and dad. Sometimes it was outward. My parents told me to do something, I would outwardly disobey and rebel towards them. Sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was inward. In other words, it looked like on the outside I was doing right, but really I wasn't, because on the inside I was rebelling. And I remember I had sinned against them, and that was on top of my life. I need to get right with my mom and dad. Actually, the truth is, it's not just mom and dad. I have brothers and sisters. How many of you have brothers or sisters? Would you raise your hand, okay? How many of you are an only child? Maybe you have not made you the only child in the room, okay, like that. So I think everyone has brothers and sisters, okay? Which means this, we can sin against brothers and sisters, and sure enough, man, my brother, my older brother and sister, my younger brother and sister, I had sinned against them. I need to get right with them. There were people, there were friends, there were people. There was my school. Actually, some of you, how many of you go to a public school? You go to public school, okay? All right, now I'm going to break. How many go to a Christian school? A Christian school is where, okay? And then how many of you are homeschooled? You know, okay, all right, for a lot of you, keep your hands down. For me, I went to a Christian school at the time. And with a Christian school, there's a lot of rules. You know what? I had broken so many of those. I remember when I got things right with God, I wanted to get things right with God. It's interesting, when God does that change your heart, you want to get it. So now I'm like, I go home and I say, to everyone, hey, mom and dad, Johnny, Amy, Sarah, Joey, can I talk to all of you guys right away? And they all came to the same room. Here I was. I said, I want you to know something. This past week at camp, I got things right with God, and God has forgiven me. I've sinned against God in so many ways. And I said this, but mom and dad, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you, Johnny, and Amy, and Sarah. And Joey. I mean, I'm telling them, I'm like, geez, and I'm wrong. And I said, will you forgive me? And you know what happened? They looked at me and they said this. Actually, we all kind of had this kind of like a hug. And we're all kind of struggled like in tears. And they weren't tears of being sad and mad. It was actually tears of all of these things that were between me and them got pushed away. And now I'm close to them again. See, boys and girls, that's what it's like. You know, when you have stuff between you and somebody else, it's like it's a barrier. You know, like you've got sin that you've done, you're not really right, but it's amazing. When you get things right with like a mom or a dad, it's like that barrier's removed, and now you're close again, like you used to be and maybe in the past. And so it's amazing. And I think about this, but wait a second. Not only do you experience, man, peace, and you experience, you can say, prosperity. I started growing in my spiritual life. And man, I'm reading the Bible, and God's like speaking to me. He's like working my heart. I even had a friend named Brian. So my friend named Brian, he said this. We were driving home, and I get to my end of my driveway, and I'm getting out of the vehicle, and Brian says this. Brian says, hey, Jeremy, you have something I don't have. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, I have been watching your life for the last couple of months, and your life is so different, and you have this peace, it seems like, in your heart, your life. And I said, Brian, anybody can have that if you get right with God. And my friend Brian said, I need to. He began to pray, and right there, like I close my eyes. And he's praying. You know what he's doing? Boys and girls, he was asking God to forgive him and to cleanse him. And you know what's crazy? I thought, you know, that would have never happened if I hadn't gotten things right before. In other words, when you get things right with God, God actually empowers you and uses you in a special way. But wait a second, the opposite is true too. Because when you hold on to your sin, you don't have peace, you have conflict. Now everyone's out to get you. You got to feel that way at least, don't you? Man, like my parents. You know, I used to think my parents were out to get me. And I thought they would go to the room at night when I go to my room, and they would go to their room, and they'd say, okay, how can we destroy Jeremy's life tomorrow? And they'd go, oh, and they'd kind of give each other kind of ideas, but yeah, right there. And they'd give each other high fives, yeah, yeah, that's sweet. We're going to destroy his life. Yeah. Parents do not do that. But when you're doing evil, you kind of feel like everyone's out to get you. There are times I'd be sitting in a service like this or a chapel, and I'm thinking, preacher's talking to me. How does he know that about me? I would feel that guilty feeling because you know what? Instead of having peace, I had conflict. Instead of having prosperity and growth, I felt guilt in my heart, in my life, and I wasn't growing. There was no real power in my spiritual life. Something was wrong, and it wasn't on God's side. It was on my side. Boys and girls, some of you are exactly where I was like that. You've got sins in your heart and in your life, and I don't even know what they are, but God does. And between you and God and you and other people, and right now I'm like hitting your buttons right now. It's like I'm talking to you because God is talking to some of you about getting rid of sin. If you don't get rid of it, there's no blessing from God there. God is serious about sin. Now, boys and girls, Achan took that stuff and hit this step. Now, how did he say he said, oh God, this is kind of cool, okay? So kind of finish off this message. I had a mini lesson on three, and then I'll come real fast, okay? But watch this. I'm looking for someone sitting up really straight and not talking. And I'm going to actually let you come up here and peek in the tent. Because there's something in the tent. And I want you to point to it, but you don't grab it, I'll get it, okay? Just so you know, okay? So you're, and we're gonna pull out some things, okay? Now, these are just kind of little examples. I'm just going to say, these are kind of maybe sins, because I would ask this question. Do boys and your girls your age, do they ever sin, yes or no?
Yes!
I wonder what kind of things that they might do. Over sitting up straight, not talking. Go ahead, why don't you come up here real quick? I don't want you to be the first. I want you to kind of peek in here and you can point to one thing and I will pull it out for you there. Which one do you want to pull out? Okay, whoa. Okay, go ahead, you can take a seat. Thank you. Whoa. That's a knife. It's a real knife, that's why I'm not letting you. No, that'd be bad. Now, a knife, you could say, well, killing? You mean boys and girls your age, like, kill people? And I'd say, well, actually, I mean, that could happen, but honestly, when I think about a knife like this, I think about something different. Because, see, when I was in about junior high, I went with a friend of mine, you know what, we went whitewater rafting. It was really kind of cool. I'm like, man, that's kind of fun. After we finished whitewater rafting that day, I remember we put the stuff, you know, away, and people kind of figured something. And on our way back to our house, we stopped at a gas station, and this gas station was kind of in the hills of North Carolina, and so it's got kind of, it's a whole different style of terrain and stuff, too. Anyway, we were there, and I remember looking, so if we were going to get like a soft drink of some sort, you know, maybe get a Mountain Dew or something, I don't know, we were kind of going to pick something out, and I see my friend who loved fishing. He pulls off a package, and in the package was a fillet knife for fishing. Now, this is not a fillet knife. This is a different style of knife. But anyway, let's just say he pulls it off. It's in this package, and he's looking at it. I see him looking at it for a while. Next thing I see is this. I see my friend making his way towards the restroom, and he still kind of has that in his hand. And I see him with this package lean down and even ask the person who's at the counter, hey, do you guys have restrooms here? And I said, oh yeah, there's one over there. He said, okay, thank you. And he's walking over there and kind of with it down low. And I kind of noticed it looked like he took it into the bathroom with him. I didn't think really much about it. It just kind of was a little different. And then he came out of the bathroom, and when he came out, his shirt was untucked. And he was kind of leaning forward a little bit. And it just looked a little bit different, a little funny. Anyway, we ended up going and getting in the car. He kind of went to the car right away. I remember getting in the car, and we're driving down the road. And as we're driving down the road, I see my friend reach underneath his shirt, and he pulls out this package of a fillet knife. Boys and girls, what did he just do? He did sin, but what specific sin did he do? Yes, sir?
He took it.
Yeah.
He stole one.
Do you know that boys and girls your age sometimes steal? Sometimes they're at a friend's house, they see something they really like, and they know their friend's not looking, they might even steal from a friend, which is, wow, that's evil. You know, it's true, sometimes some of you might even take from your own parents. Maybe the truth is, you're thinking you want this a couple dollars, and you see a couple dollars on the counter, and you know it's not yours, but you go ahead and you take it. You might even take it from your mom's purse or something like that. You could do that. Sometimes some of you boys and girls, when I think about this, one of the major sins sometimes is that you're doing homeschool. Is something called cheating. You know what that is? That's stealing an answer. That's looking at the answers and then writing the answers in the blank. But they're not really your answers. You didn't come up with them. You cheated. You stole them. Boys and girls actually do steal. And it's amazing how you can steal. That's one thing. Okay, someone else sitting up really straight. Yes, sir. Come on, Jerry. All right. Pull that. Wow. You know, now some of you might have your own cell phone, some of you might not have a cell phone, but the truth is with a cell phone, you know what you can typically do? You can actually even talk. Now I know that's a little bit awkward in our modern day because some of you talk by text, you know. And sometimes your texting, you know, can be, well, not pleasing to God. You could even get on the phone and maybe you're mad at your mom or dad and you're saying to your friend, yeah, I wish my mom or dad would let me go to a friend's house. Yeah, you know, your parents didn't make you clean the room. My parents are so mean. I have to clean every day. I hate them. And you use your mouth to slander the first people with your speech. You can sit with your speech. Some of you, even while you're at camp, you said some mean things to somebody else here.
Not just with our speech. Someone else said, I'm sure.
Good job. I'll have to start here. All right.
Okay.
Whoa. Now, how many of you have something like an iPad or Kindle, something like that? You got something like that, yeah. So some kind of device you can go and look at. And some of you, you know, you get on and you watch stuff. You know, you watch movies and maybe you get on the internet and you're like, that's cool, you know, and I can watch me. But you know, sometimes things that you see, if you really begin to think about them, do not please God at all. There are times where that's what we're doing. It's like we're not feasible God to look at. Maybe we just kind of, we're so Americans, can I tell you this? Sometimes we're so given to entertainment, it's almost like we forget God in the whole thing. And we know this doesn't please God. Go ahead and do it anyway. Because we want to be entertained. Truth is, you can see things. There's all kinds of evil things. I tell my other kids, we have stuff where we kind of block it off. And I said that the other day, I found out that one of my boys, he was just kind of on his phone. He happened to be, and again, his phone was kind of locked down, so too, but he was watching just kind of some random stuff on YouTube. And I said, no, tell him I do not want him. If he's caught that way, he's going to be in big trouble. Because just randomly, without any adult around, looking at YouTube and going on with things, there's some really, really awful, wicked, bad things. And they can destroy lives. And so I think about that. You can send that way. You got two more things in there, real quick. Someone else is up straight. This guy right here, come up here.
Okay, that's good.
Whoa! No, it's not a Mary Me. No, these are not just air. These are meat, man. Are you serious? Dude, that's nice stuff. And then also, it's like you listen to stuff. How do you like to kind of put on earphones and kind of listen to stuff? Isn't that kind of fun? That's kind of cool. And you can listen to really cool stuff. There's some really awesome things out there, isn't there? But do you know there's also some really bad stuff out there?
Yeah.
Boys and girls, sometimes, again, it's entertainment, and we just kind of don't think much about it. We're filling our heart and our mind with stuff that's really evil or wicked that definitely does not please God. I mean, sometimes I remember back when I was kind of, at some point, I would hide from my parents. I would listen to this stuff. I knew it was wrong. I had a brother, an older brother, who I kind of really like looked up to, and it was an influence, but I had choices, and I would still try to choose to get that. And it would like affect my heart. I'd be kind of angry, and I kind of listen to stuff. And later, when God got a hold of my life, it's interesting because sometimes I can even walk in a store now and I can hear some of these songs. And I'm like, oh, I listen and I think of the word. I'm like, that's awful. That is this wicked words. That's awful. And I used to listen to that. And praise God, He delivers you. And I think about that. Maybe you got junk and stuff. Again, I'm just going to talk about the stuff that can definitely affect you and change you. There's one more thing that I want to say. Come on here. And this actually has to do with camping, okay?
So, one last thing.
Yeah, okay, go for it. All right, here we go. So this is... Whoa! Yeah! Not a walking stick, but actually, here, let me tell you, this is funny. So I was working at this camp in Hawaii, okay? I was suffering for Jesus in Hawaii. Sorry. So I was suffering for Jesus in Hawaii, and I had camp. It's actually very similar to this kind of camp. It's really kind of super awesome and very like the layout even and stuff. And anyway, I remember I was a counselor, and then all of a sudden I hear two of my campers yelling at each other, and I had the other ones there. We're all having fun. I look over and I see two of them yell, and one of them had this big huge stick. Okay, it was like this, but it was thicker. And he's like, ah! And the other one had run from him and picked up a huge rock and was going, ah! And then I'm like, ah! I get in between, I'm like, will you stop? And he's like, oh, we're killing! You know, like, stop, you know, put the stuff down. Okay, what happened? He called me a name! Oh, he called me a name! And I'm like, are you kidding me? They were like ready to kill each other. Because someone called him a name. And I think of the anger in a heart. Which shows an angry, a mean, self-centered heart. Some of you are that way. With mom and dad. With a brother or sister. Some of you act really good at church. But the truth is, your sister or your brother, they get in your room and that's my stuff. It's amazing how you can say. Boys and girls have named just kind of a bunch of different things like that. But let me give you the last lesson so we can finish. Okay, here's what it is. Lesson number 3. Your sin destroys you. And other people do. Write that down. Number 3, your sin destroys you and other people too. Boys and girls, when you think about your sin destroying them, listen carefully as I conclude this story. This is a true story. This is verse 24. Actually, before that, verse 19. Joshua hears this, and you remember how it happened? Here's what he did. In the morning, he's asking, anyone know? Okay? I'm going to have you pass before me in your groups. Actually, in the 12 tribes, okay? So the 12, get with your tribe and make your way this way. Now, you can imagine 12 tribes, and we're about 2 million people. There's thousands of people in these tribes. And so as he gets to a certain tribe, all of a sudden God tells Joshua, the person who did it is in this tribe. So all of a sudden he says, stop. The rest of you, get back, go home, whatever, get away. Here's the next group. I want the families of this tribe to get together, and I want you to march in front of me. And all of a sudden, he says to this one family, stop! Now I want the men of this family to line up, and I want you to walk before me. Now, what do you think? What do you think Achan's thinking? I mean, the truth is, Achan's like, whoa, like he got lucky on that one. I mean, but nobody knows. Whoa, he got lucky again, but he doesn't. But nobody knows to the point where Achan is going to be walking in front of Joshua. Now, remember, you can do one of two things with your sin. You can either confess your sin and get it right, or you cover it over. What's Achan doing? Is he confessing it? Yes or no?
No.
He's covered. So boys and girls, you know what he does? He's covered and he's walking this way. I wonder what his face looked like. How do you think he walked in front of him? Do you think he was like... I think if he did that, Josh would be like, well, hello, you're the one. You know what I mean? It'd be pretty evident, pretty obvious. So he can't look nervous. So he's walking, and he's looking, maybe even looks up, because he's not going to look away. If he walking like, well, that makes you look nervous. Okay, then obviously he's the one. So I honestly, like, what is he doing? I think he's got to look at him. He's got to look there, but his heart probably is beating 150 miles per hour. You know what I'm saying? But he's kind of acting like he's very calm and pretty collected, and he kind of looks over at Joshua. I wonder if he even smirked a little bit, maybe even a little bit of a smile on his face. In other words, like, it's not me, and he's going to try to keep on making his way because he keeps trying to cover it. But God says to Joshua, that's him. And so when we read verse 19, look at it closely because now you can imagine. Remember what's happened. 36 people have died. The power of God has left the children of Israel. This is so serious. And what does he say in verse 19? Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And now tell me what you've done. He says, do not hide it from me. So sure enough, he starts to fess up. He's been caught. This is a real confession. It's just the idea that you've already been caught. It's like, you know, the person saying, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. And they say, oh, really? And the police say, well, let me show you the video that we have of you. And they go, oh, okay, yeah, it was me. He starts to fess up. Actually, the Bible says in verse 20, it says, yet Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. He says, and these are the things that I have done. He says in verse 21, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, and the 200 shekels of silver, and a garment of this garment, this 200 shekels of silver, this wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them, and I took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in the tent, and the silver under it. Sure enough. So then what did they do? Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says this, and Joshua and all Israel with him, he took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said to him at this valley, he says it aloud. Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire. They stoned him with stones. Whoa. Why did that happen? Boys and girls, when you try to cover your sin, it affects people. Do you know when you live in your sin and have sin in your life, it affects your friends? Your friends don't even have to know about your sins. Did you know that? They don't have to know about it, but it affects them. Who would have been Achan's friends? Probably his army buddies. 36 men died. That affects people. As far as we know, we don't even know they knew about it. Not just his friends, his family. I mean, you say, well, I mean, why would you punish people for what the dad did? Well, maybe because here's a teenage boy in the house and says, hey, dad, what's the lumpy spot in the middle of the tent? And his dad says, son, don't tell anybody. It's our future. All of a sudden, the family in this nomadic tent knows all about the sin. Now they're like conspirators to the crime. They take the family, they take all the stuff, they throw it into this valley of Achor, they take large stones, they begin to stone them to death. After they stone them to death, they burn all the possessions and everything with them. And interesting, the Bible says in the last verse of chapter 7, it says, then they raised over him a great heap of stones. And then it says this, still there to this day, so that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. God has something called righteous anger. It's wrath. It's righteous anger that God has. And God is angry with the wicked, the Bible says, every day. But God in his wrath and his kindness can rescue, but not with a heart that's proud and arrogant, but with a humble one who runs to him. And God hears what I've done. Do you know, anytime they came near the Valley of Achor, do you know what the word Achor means? Some of you might even have it as a study Bible note, like a little note in your study Bible, or in your Bible itself. What does the word Achor mean? Do you think you know what it means? Yes, sir.
Oh.
It means trouble.
I just write in trouble.
Okay. You know what's interesting? Anytime the children of Israel came near the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, they were reminded of one person who brought trouble on the whole nation. You know, I think about that sometimes to go, you know what? I don't want to bring trouble on my family or on my church or camp. When I think about this, I think about here's counselors in here and here's staff members and truth is maybe he's not really going to bless Camp Challenge this summer like he could because you're holding on to your sin. That's a serious thought. When you remove sin, it's amazing what God does. And it's not because God has this hatred towards you. No, God actually loves you and has provided a way for you to be rescued. Actually, the whole book of Joshua is a reminder that actually Jehovah saves. And in the future, there would be a specific, perfect Messiah who would come and rescue us fully and completely from our sin. And the truth is, maybe tonight you're not even saved. Maybe that's you. But the truth is, maybe there's some of you who truly are saved, but there's sins in your heart and your life that don't please God. What do you need to do? You need to go back to God and say, God, I need to be your child all over again. No, not if you become a true child of God. If you've been truly born again, you've been birthed into his family, then you're a child of God. But what do? You go to God and say, God, this does not please you. And you already know about it. Do you know when you confess your sins to God, he never says, you did what? I did not know. No, actually, God knows everything. Nothing surprises him with that. Why do we confess and humble ourselves? Because we need this on our part. We say, God, you're right, and I'm wrong, and I'm coming to you. You know what the word confession really means? It's like the idea that if you were a kid, I would say it this way. It's when you tell on yourself. And you know, many of you know what it's like when someone tells on you, or how you tell on somebody else. But real confession is when you go to God and say, God, you're right, and I'm telling on myself. I'm coming to you, and I want to get things back with you. Maybe, boys and girls, there's some of you even tonight, and God's working on you. Tonight would be the night that you can get things back with God. That would be awesome. He experiences his peace and his joy and his kindness and his forgiveness. I hope that's true of you. Truth is, you could be like Joshua, and you want to kick out sin. That's Joshua. Or you could be like Abel. Try to cover over your sin. And you will never prosper if you cover over your sin. I hope that God would say, I will be like Joshua. Like God's help. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for your kindness in our hearts and our lives. Give us an amazing, fun day at camp. But God, this message is a very serious message. And I pray, God, tonight that you would work in our hearts, that there would be none of us in this room who would try to cover over our sins, but we would get serious tonight, and we would confess and forsake our sins tonight. Boys and girls, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to talk to you for a minute with no one looking around, because I don't want to embarrass anybody, okay? So I'm just having you kind of keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, but listen carefully to what I have to say. All day long, I want you to know this, we always have an open invitation at camp. What does that mean? That means at any time you would like, you could go to your counselor or go to any one of our staff members and just say, hey, can you help me for a minute? Can you pray with me? I've got these things wrong. I need to get things right. You know, at any time, you may even say, hey, you know, to your counselor, I need to get saved. at any time during camp, we want you to know we're available. Even if it's in the middle of the night, you have to tap us up and wake us up. We want to help you, okay? But we always have an invitation like that. But at the end of the service in the evening times, I like to give what's called a formal invitation. You say, what's that, Pastor Jeremy? What I want to do is this. Maybe some of you, God is speaking to you right now about some things, and you don't want to push it off and want to wait, but you want to get things right with God tonight, right now. What we like to do is have a quiet time, an opportunity at the very end of the service. We want to give you an opportunity. If you want to be able to talk to your counselor, you can even look to your counselor, tap them on the shoulder maybe. And what they can do is quietly, you guys can leave your seat and you can go over to where the dining hall is. It's a great spot to be able to do that. And you can go over there, and you know what? Maybe at that point you say, counselor, can you pray for me in these areas? And I need to get things right with God because I've sinned against God this way. Or maybe I need to get things right with my mom or my dad. And I need you to pray for me, and I want you to encourage me and help me out that way. We love that kind of counseling, because that kind of counseling actually helps you to kind of be able to figure out what to do in your spiritual life and to have someone pray for you. I wonder how many boys and girls would say this. Pastor Jeremy, as you're preaching this message tonight, God is speaking to my heart. There are some sins in my heart that God is definitely dealing with me on right now. Maybe no one else knows. Maybe other people do. But you say, Pastor Jeremy, I need to get some things right with God tonight. God is speaking to me, and I want to be humble and be open and honest, and I want to get things right with God. Pastor Jeremy, will you pray for me tonight? God is working in my life. Please pray for me. I need to get some things right with God. And you would slip your hand up and hold up. Pastor Jeremy, pray for me. God is working in my heart. I need to get some things right with God. Okay? I want to pray for members of you. You can put your hands down. Now, if God's working in your heart and you're resisting that, you know what you're doing? You're just like Achan. Covered it over. It doesn't ultimately go away. So until you really are going to humble yourself and get things right with God, it's going to be some turmoil for sure in your life. But you know, God, this kindness is working on you. Humble yourself. But I can do this. I know a number of hands were raised there. If God's working in your heart and you have a tender heart even right now and you want to talk to somebody, I would encourage you to do this, that you would actually look to where your counselor is sitting and you would just kind of tap them maybe on the shoulder. And you and the idea is this, is that you could then go talk to them, and you guys at this point could quietly leave your seat, just make your way up over to there, and be able to talk to your counselor, and they'll pray with you tonight, give you some counsel on some of those things. If you know sin is in your heart in your life, and you want to get something right with God, I'm going to say this right now. If God's working in your heart, you can look to your counselor. And it could be a couple of you. That might be a number of you in your cabin. It could just be one of you. But if you would like to tonight, I want to give you the opportunity right now to do some business with God. I'll talk to someone, okay? So if that's you tonight, why don't you look to your counselor, and then you can tap your counselor, and they'll know to go with you, and you can quietly make your way over there, and you can pray for the time. If you want to do that, you do that. So look to your counselor, let them know. Just kind of give maybe a head nod, and they'll know what you're talking about, and you guys can quietly lead out here real quick, okay? While the rest of us will have our heads bowed. Okay. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, as we close in prayer tonight, I pray that you would stir our hearts in a real way. You put some pressure on us, but we would not hold on to our sin. God, you would work on us that we would confess it. I pray there would be some boys and girls who would be real honest and open with you, not hold on to things, but begin to cry out to you for cleansing and forgiveness. And Lord, they would even say something to their counselor, Lord, to think about the wise counsel of a godly friend who can point them in the right direction and how to get things right with you. And I just pray, God, will you use the counselors even tonight? They know who raised their hands. They know that. And I pray, God, that you would use them in a special way. Thank you, God, for all that you do. I pray that we would leave here tonight not in turmoil, but in peace with you. Thank you for this group. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I turn this over to Pastor Brian, save me a seat real quick, we'll just mention in a second. But as I turn this over to Pastor Brian, I want you to realize this too. Boys and girls, we love you here. We really do. And we want to help you. You need to say something to us so we can help you. Okay? That takes humility. Because a proud person goes, maybe later. Maybe some other time. But a humble person says, you know what, I can't. And you know what? If that means you missing a game or something like that too, you know, or missing part of the snack or something like that, yeah, I think when you're getting right with God, you don't really care. You feel awkward. I need her. And you know what? The camp knows that too. We know that and we love you. Okay? So,
just see that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right.
The position is that, guys. Please follow up on that. It's a serious thing. So, feel free to talk to Captain. That's the biggest thing is the longer you keep it hidden, the worse it gets. So, it's encouraged to do that. So, we'll be dismissed now.
I need. What did I do? 4 phone linehammers yesterday? I need 4 morning stars, 3 linehammers, counselors send them to me at the flagpole. 4 morning stars, 3 linehammers, different from the one this morning. The snack shop is open also.